What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Jaden Daniels is week to week, and the Ravens are a freaking wagon.
Yeah, that's true.
We could briefly hit on Monday Night Football. I can't tell you. I don't know if I have ESPN Plus. I'm just going to confess. I may or may not have it.
You normally get ESPN Plus on your computer.
But I wanted to watch it on television. I couldn't. It drove me nuts. And I just gave up. I didn't try to watch the second game. Did you watch the second game?
Yeah, part of it.
I watched zero of it.
Until I started looking at the back of my eyelids.
It was impossible for me to get on my television, and I just gave up. I have a rant for if I have ESPN and I pay you for ESPN, I should be able to watch what's on ESPN. But I'm going to save that because the performance by the Ravens last night was really impressive.
Yeah.
Tampa kind of shot themselves in the foot. Baker, two red zone picks. Miss a field goal.
It's when things happen, bro.
But, dude, the way Derrick Henry could close out games.
Bruh.
He had 15 carries for a buck 70.
Why you think I like B-Rob so much?
He's not that.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I ain't saying he's that. I'm saying if you're anything like that, when you are a person that will inflict pain on people when they touch you over and over again, you can close out games late in the game like that. And when you notice in the game, when he's running the way he runs, guys make business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry in the end of a game, they're going to damn sure make a business decision.
Through seven games, Derrick Henry has 873 yards. He's averaging a buck 25 a game, I believe.
That is why Jerry was stupid. You can't say you couldn't afford him. Aren't you got the most? You got the highest valued team in the NFL. You say you spend more than anybody else. You shouldn't have never let that dude right there get to Baltimore. Should have got him in Dallas.
You know what his cap number is?
What?
He only got $9 million guaranteed. It's less than an $8 million signing bonus. The devaluing of the running back position to the point where Derrick Henry can sign a 2-year, $16 million contract.
See?
Shows like the inherent flaws in that.
It
philosophy.
Shows you that it's a bunch of people who just want to devalue a position. The people in the position weren't bad. They just want to make it look bad.
The two biggest free agent running back signings this offseason have absolutely made a gigantic impact for those teams.
Totally.
In Henry and Saquon.
Yeah.
Lanville, do the math for me. Henry's averaging 124.7 per game. I saw somewhere, but it was like some random Instagram account, so I don't know the veracity of this, but that he's on track to break the NFL single season rushing record. But I want to know
how much he averaging?
124.7. But I want to know if that how many games that is, because if it's the new 17 game record,
that would be 2,108.
Okay, that's a lot, dude.
What's the record in 16 games?
I'm going to pull it up. I want to say it's AP. Oh, it's still. Damn, what was the number?
2,108.
2,108.
Hmm?
The current record right now, Eric Dickerson, 2,105.
And that was in 16 games.
I mean, that would come down to the wire.
That was in 16
sure.
games. You got a whole other game. You get 3 yards more.
I don't know the answer to this, B. I'm going to pull it up. Dickerson broke that record. Dickerson set that record in 1984.
Yeah.
Did they play 16 then, or was it still 14?
No, 16 games around 84.
Okay. Yeah, they went 10-6.
Ain't that damn old.
I don't know when they changed it, dude.
Wait, I would call Eric and say, Eric, JP say you played with the game when it was 14.
I did not say it.
I'm going to do like you do. I'm going to change the story.
When did NFL go to 16 games? We'll find that out, too.
70s?
I don't know, but Zay Flowers left that game. I think he came back in. He's given them a lot. The Ravens' defense was swarming. Their ability to get to Baker over and over, it was 78 when they went to 16 games.
All right. I was 10.
I think, you know, I've been hesitant to say that anybody's better than Chiefs. Chiefs are still the only undefeated team. We do power rankings tomorrow.
They beat them.
The Chiefs
beat the
should
Ravens.
Be on top because they beat them, right, head-to-head. But damn, that place.
I think the Ravens are going
to
be on top.
That place was buzzing last night, and they went down there, got down early, and then proceeded to rattle off 34 straight.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolute wagon. Mark Andrews, remember the early season consternation that Mark Andrews might be washed? Pierce, he's clean.
Well, man.
Jeff, what's the opposite of washed? What do you say to prove someone is not washed? Dry?
They're dirty.
You they wash still... it, then you dry it?
Nah, you just got to say they still got it.
I think we need something better. I'm going with dry. You think he's washed? I think he's dry.
Dirty. You dirty.
We think That's he's good. Dirty.
Yeah, dirty means you still.
But when you come out dude. Of the wash, you're clean. You go in the wash dirty. Yeah. Jeff, I'm going to need you to work on this.
All right, yeah, we're going to think of something by the end of the segment.
Lamar's numbers last night, and for the Lamar can't beat you from the pocket?
He got to prove that in the playoffs.
Do you know how many completions he had?
No.
17.
But I'm just saying.
You know how many touchdowns he threw?
Probably 4 or 5.
Five. Five but touchdowns.
The thing of it, see, that's the whole thing about it, though. His legacy is not going to go down by what he did
completely
in
right.
week 6 or 7.
Completely right.
It's going to go down. Like, in the playoffs, when teams sit back and say, we're going to stop Derek beat us now, that's when it's going to come up. I think Lamar is an unbelievable quarterback. He can throw the ball, he can do all that stuff. But he's going to have to do it in the playoffs to get the luster that he's going to need.
I think
that he wants. Say it like that.
I think you're looking at people run with what I'm saying before I get to finish it, but whatever. You're looking at a scenario where Lamar and Josh Allen in Buffalo are in a Charles Barkley, Karl Malone situation until they get one.
There you go.
It's just there's MJ in Mahomes
yeah.
and Brady before him.
Yeah.
And those dudes are good players. And unless they can break through, their success will be defined as insufficient.
Lamar's the new Peyton Manning.
Who made that? Somebody made that comp, I think, on our show, or we heard it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, but that's who he is.
Just throwing it out there.
No, you can understand it because Peyton's regular season success was unbelievable. Now, are they different styles of players? Sure, but Peyton had Brady and couldn't get past that for a long time, finally broke through. There is some level of comp there, despite, I mean, their regular season numbers, the MVP awards, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lamar's won 2 MVPs, and his playoff record, I bet, is under 500. Yeah. There is some real similarity there. The only thing I'll say for Ravens fans, for Valdez, like, dude, eventually Peyton broke through. He won the one with the Colts that was him.
To be the king or the queen, you got to be in the homecoming court. Can't be in the stands and become a homecoming king or queen.
Lamar's career playoff record, 2-4.
Yeah.
And, dude, there were two other playoff seasons in Baltimore that he wasn't able to go late in the year. Right now, though, damn, the Ravens look good.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't watch any of the other game. Anybody? Give us the ESPN Plus that I could not watch, even though I pay for the product. Recap. All right. I hope it was a good game.
Recap. LA Chargers are like they always are. They get a lot of hype, and then they start to fizzle.
It sounds like a real barn burner. 17-15, Cardinals win. Kyler Murray threw for 145 yards. Damn, Justin Herbert threw for 350, but no scores.
Yeah.
No picks, no scores.
He has a lot of lows. I mean, that's
crazy to go for 349 with no picks, no scores.
I call that empty stuff when you just toss and toss and toss and they can't get in the damn end zone.
Well, and they couldn't get the run game going. Looks like Dobbins 14 for 40, averaging less than 3 per carry. James Conner took over this game late, 19 for a .101.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you had fun. None of us could watch it on the East Coast, or at least I couldn't. So I'm just going to assume it was a whole damn corridor. All right, Brian, that was your Monday Night Football recap.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about what we learned yesterday. What'd you learn yesterday from Dan Quinn about the Jaden Daniels injury?
I learned about what we thought. I think it's going to come down to a pain threshold thing.
You think it's just bruised ribs?
If he's week to week, that's pain threshold. If it was something that's going to hold him out, that's not a week to week. You know, if it's something fractured or whatever, that's not a week to week. But when you have that pain, right? Listen, ribs, hip pointers, those type of things, it's all about the person. And I can say this. I would think that they're going to be what Coach Thompson was with Allen Iverson. They're going to have to protect him from him because he's a competitor. He'll want to go. If he is not hurting as much and he can, yes. But if you think something is still hindering him, you got to hold him back.
Do you play him at anything less than 100%? Understanding football players are rarely 100%.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, if he's 98, 99%, 97, hell, that's basically 100. Go.
What's the cutoff?
Cutoff, I'm not going like no 89, oh, he's 89%.
That's funny. I was going to say 90.
Yeah. So, you know, my thing is when you start hitting 95 on up, basically round it up, that's 100%. And then when you have a guy with his drive, that changes things right there. Now, when you get to him below 90 and things of that nature, his drive will say, I can play. He wants to go. It has to be the adults in the room to make decisions.
That's one of the things I feel best about. I want to be crystal clear that I am not naive enough. I think there are naive people out there that think these relationships don't exist, okay? And you're nuts. Every owner in the NFL, whoever the majority owner is of a team in the NFL has a relationship with their starting quarterback.
Hell yeah.
Especially if they are a high draft pick or a quarterback that's gotten a big second contract. They probably had dinner at each other's homes. They probably know each other's wives. Like, they have a relationship.
Man, the quarterback is basically the moneymaker.
Yes.
For the damn owner. If that owner doesn't know the quarterback, that owner is an ass. Let's be real.
Totally.
Come on, man.
And I think if anybody thinks that doesn't exist, you're crazy. But anybody that's been in relationships in college and high school in your 20s, you're married in your 60s, whatever the hell. There are good relationships and there's bad relationships. Yeah. What we saw in this city for a really long time were bad relationships, toxic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one common denominator throughout those toxic relationships. That dude's on a boat off the coast of Singapore, last I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Look around the NFL where the toxic relationships are. How's it going with the Jets? How's it going with Cleveland? Like you can pinpoint them and acknowledge, yo, that's a mess right there.
Everybody can say, oh, Aaron Rodgers get to do what he wants. How does the team look?
Right.
How does the overall aspect look?
So to think that Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, Magic, Mark Ein, the collection of folks involved in ownership over there aren't getting updates on Jaden's status pretty damn frequently.
I would think that they are asking because they are concerned people. They're not that type where you got to find them. They want to know.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know how many people are texting me, what's up with Jaden? I can only imagine how many people are texting you, B, what's up with Jaden? Those dudes are texted too, and they're probably getting updates. But what I don't believe, Brian, and what I think you agree with, but I certainly won't speak for you, in the past, ownership would have such influence on these types of decisions
mm-hmm.
that they could push what is a game time decision, what is a 50-50 call. They'd push it whichever way they want.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have something balancing on a ledge, and they would just decide how it's going to go. I truly believe now this ownership group wants all the information,
yeah,
but will defer on the actual decision to the football people. And the medical people.
I think because they all have the same common goal. I mean, this is a long-haul thing. This is not, I'm trying to do this today and you're trying to do a long-haul thing. I think they are in this together. And a lot of times, the owner, coach, and GM are not always in it together. Know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I said this a billion times in the offseason. That when Harris cleared house, right? I thought the opportunity was so valuable for Washington because for the first time, honestly, I don't know if you agree, but I think for the first time since.
I think we have an ass working with us.
Yeah, I'm aware. I think for the first time since Jack Kent Cook and Charlie Casserly, and I know it didn't work well, but since they drafted like Heath Shuler, were they all in on, they were all on the same page for however brief that was, right? Mm-hmm. Like when Harris hired Peters and then allowed Peters to make his decisions, and who the hell cares about Ben Johnson at this point?
I don't.
Like whether
he's didn't in.
Right. You knew, then they had the opportunity to take Jaden in number two. There's organizational alignment, and that is so vital for the proper development of a quarterback, the proper development of a team. And what happens this weekend, bro, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks they know. Nobody knows. It's more than likely a pain hold, a pain threshold thing.
A pain hold. That's a new one.
A pain hold. Jeff's got one of those. It's part of his Sexrobics 201 class. The 101's for beginners. But I think, you know, as this thing develops this week, I was texting with somebody Sunday night about all the anticipation for Monday afternoon's press conference. And I said, I fully expect this to be non-committal. And they were like, yeah, he's not going to say anything. Sure enough, he said enough that we have a baseline of which to work with. But he didn't say anything. Week to week, but we hope he could play this week.
He said enough. So you don't have to keep badgering them about it. But
he also said enough that if you keep badgering me, I have nothing else to say.
I ultimately feel the way like he doesn't owe you more than what he gave. You know what I mean? And like the people that keep asking the questions after he said what he said yesterday, if he's week to week and we're going to see is why ask every day? I just told you it's week to week. I didn't say day to day, so don't ask me every day.
Well, M, what's so smart about their setup now, so he talks yesterday. The only real difference would have been Ron would have said, oh, I got a meeting with the doctors after I talked to you guys, right? Like, that was Ron's move.
Yeah.
Is he scheduled his day so he couldn't answer? At least DQ gave something, right? But when Dan Quinn talks to the media on Wednesday, will be before practice, before the injury report comes out. If Jaden practices Wednesday, even if it's just individuals, even if he's limited, could be telling. I wouldn't put him out there. Like, you're giving guys rest all the time. I don't think Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu have practiced on a Wednesday in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, but the thing about it is you got to see what he can do as you make decisions. Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu are a different guy, like a little older.
Sure.
They're not hurt. So you're just giving them that rest time. In this situation, you have to know if he's progressing or not if you're going to make a decision.
I think if he can go, you play him. There's the notion of wait till he's 110%, wait till he's 150%. Like, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, you're right.
It's football.
You can't be 110%. You can't be 150. You can be 100%. That's it.
And honestly,
and you'll never see that ever again.
He probably wasn't 100% coming in.
There you go.
Coming into the Panthers game.
Yes.
I got a question for you, B.
Yeah.
How much should and how much will Marcus Mariota's success against Carolina impact the decision against Chicago? Brian answers that next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Good news, Piers Lamphill has signed up for Jeff's Tuesday morning sexrobics class.
What?
The boys were just dancing in there, B. I don't know if you saw it. It was a solid
vibe. Stuff that Jeff is doing, I don't know if that's anything concerning sexrobics. It's weird, I can tell you that.
I asked a question just before the break. Obviously, everybody's concerned is Jaden Daniels, understandably. Yeah. Marcus Mariota was really good against the Panthers, and he started poorly. It really highlights how good he was, particularly in the second half, because the first couple drives he came in were not good. That Mariota was able to go, how did he finish? 18 to 23, 205, two touchdowns, ran for another 34.
Mm-hmm.
That he was able to perform that well. Does that impact the decision this week against the Bears?
I don't think it should. I think everything should come down to what you feel about Jaden Daniels. Because I think Marcus Mariota is a pro. He's a veteran enough player where he's going to be prepared to go, just like he was in that game. So you need to be focusing on if Jaden can, excuse me, if he can go, he goes. If he can't, he can't, and you go to Marcus next. But I believe Marcus will be ready. If it was a younger person in that position, you have to give that guy the whole week to prepare for it. You know what I'm saying? And if Marcus goes the whole week and at the end Jaden can play, I don't think he has a problem with it. You know what I mean? Because he knew what he was getting into when he came here.
Yep. I think it's funny. Where the hell was I last night? I was at NBC4 last night and talking with Leon and Doug. And we kind of started talking about Mariota, and they asked, like, you know, Marcus seems like such a good guy since he's been here. He and Jaden have that relationship. But, man, I remember in that Netflix show, the quarterback show, it seemed like he dogged his team. And I watched that show. I think you watched it. I don't know if you did.
Yeah.
But it was a tough look for Mariota. And I think a lot of fans don't realize how sideways things can get inside of an NFL building late in a season. And I unfortunately know it because it happened a lot in Washington. Hell, it happened here last year. How many people hated each other in that locker room?
But let's think about this,
between the locker room floor and the coach's floor last year?
The editing and to make that show go, they want to get every person in eyes and everything to look at it. They want to get little stories to be told. When you look at Marcus Mariota in that quarterback show, and then who are the other quarterbacks? Wasn't Pat Mahomes one of them?
Mahomes and Kirk.
Are you going to piss off Pat Mahomes? Because Pat Mahomes is going to be around for a lot longer, right? So they edited to make a certain thing look, or they tried to enhance it because it was probably boring otherwise on his side. So all these reality shows per se, not completely reality.
My thought specific to that show that year is, Mariota went to Philly last year as the backup, clearly, and was great in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was running that room, that before Sirianni tried to make him the scapegoat, and Brian Johnson, got the job here as passing game coordinator, yeah, and immediately wanted to sign Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
That's a dude that was in the room with him for a year, said, yo, this is the guy to help our new young guy.
There you go.
Mariota came here with a full eyes wide open of what was to happen, yeah, right? So I look at that 22 season when Mariota gets pulled late in the year for a coach where things didn't exactly go well. At the point he got benched after week 13. Maybe he was hurt. Like, the knee was an issue if you go back and watch that thing. But at that point that they pulled him week 13, they were going into the bye. They were 5-8. They were giving up a ton of points. Their defense ranked in the high 20s. They were bottom five defense.
Kind of sound like what's going, but the opposite of what happened over in Wisconsin.
And Mariota at that stage was completing 61% of his passes, 15 touchdowns to 9 picks, kind of grinding out wins, taking some sacks, but also able to help them on the ground. Remember they had Cordero Patterson. Like, they were able to move the ball on the ground fairly well.
Yeah.
Mariota had over 400 yards rushing. I think Mariota, what I truly think, and I've never asked him about this, I'm not sure I even will, right? It's water under all the bridges. But when people ask me specifically about the Netflix documentary, my theory, I think Mariota signed with Atlanta, told he was the guy. Because they drafted Ritter. Ritter was, what, a third or fourth rounder?
Something like that.
Hey, Marcus, you're our guy this year. We think we're a playoff team. We drafted Ritter in the third round. We want you to show him how to play the position, how to be a pro, how to be a vet. So then they come to Marcus late in the year and say, yo, we're going to the kid, even though he was probably told they weren't going to do that year. And there was probably some pressure from ownership to do that. And that's just how things work late in the season. Did he quit on a team? I doubt it. I mean, They went to, so they bench Mariota week 13. Then they have a bye. They come out, they lose their next two. The offense can't move the football. I know Fitz, when Ryan Fitzpatrick hurt his hip in the first quarter of the first game he was here, I legit never saw him again that year.
Yeah.
Like, did Fitz quit on the team that year, or was he hurt and went and did his own thing?
But very,
maybe he was back in the building. I'd have to go back and check. Like,
very similar to what happened last year. When Heineke was here, where you take him out. That was 3 years ago. Where you
with Wentz?
All of a sudden we're not gonna play you. No. Now we're gonna start you. But we're gonna start you. Then we're gonna bring all those games.
The Howell stuff.
See.
The week 17 game against the Cowboys.
My thing is, the players are no different than any one of us. We don't want to be played with. So if they were trying to play him back and forth, you know, all of a sudden now he benching you in week 13. We lose the next two. Hey, want you to play the last game. Man, to hell with you. And I don't think any player on that team would think that he quit on them. Hell, they quit. The team quit on him. The decision makers.
Dude, when you see the quarterback hijinks late in a year and you hear me and B. Mitch talk about self-preservation league, that is coaches, front office personnel trying to save their jobs to give ownership something they can point to and be like, you got to bring me, you got to keep me around.
Yeah.
Because me look and that kid, look what happened late in the year with that kid. And if you look at this 22 Atlanta Falcons, they bench Mariota, they go to Ritter for the last four, and guess what happened? They won the last two. And guess who stuck around for another year? Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the exact same record in 22 as they did in 23. They went 7-10. Like, when we tell you the self-preservation is a true mindset for a lot of people involved in the National Football League, that's a perfect example.
Big time.
So, specific to Mariota, I think you're dead on, B. I think you know what you got. He's a vet. If you got to lean on him this weekend, you do. And I don't know that he has the same level of success against the Bears defense that he did against the Panthers.
Yeah.
The Panthers defense was god-awful coming in, and they didn't have six of their front seven playing in that game.
But the fact that he had success makes the Bears have to really hunker down a little bit more. They don't look at it the same way now. They go, oh, look, they have success. The leagues don't look at – the team is not going to say, oh, Panthers suck.
Right.
They're going to say, you know what? We got to watch him.
Look what he's able to do to keep his eyes downfield and still stay behind the line of scrimmage.
Totally.
Bears do come in with the fourth best points allowed defense, fifth best in yards. They are creating turnovers at a high rate. They're third in the NFL in turnover margin. They are really good at getting teams off the field on third down, seventh in the NFL. They're only allowing third down conversions 32% of the time. Look, man, this is an all hands on deck game. Bears, whatever you think of Caleb Williams, the Bears are good.
Yeah.
I think Caleb's pretty damn good. They've got, I was thinking about this. Do we remember what DJ Moore did last year?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, is every
I remember.
I know you do.
I sure in the hell remember.
I want to make sure everyone remembers. So I'm just going to read the numbers. DJ Moore, last season, week five, in a game where Washington was down 27-0 at halftime to a Bears team that hadn't won in a calendar year. Lanville, do you remember? DJ Moore in that game, over under 175 receiving yards.
Probably over.
Jeffrey, over under 1.5 touchdowns.
Over.
B. Mitch, over under 6 catches.
Over.
8 catches, 230 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That dude's coming back to town.
Yeah, he is. So
buckle up, man. This ain't your father's Bears team. Barstool Nate joins us at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. This NBA season, you can make every play, pass, and point mean more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. You can check out newer bets like the number of dunks, assists, or three-pointers in the next 3 minutes. It doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after it already tipped off. This, you can build the same game parlay. If you're looking at the Celtics take on the New York Knicks tonight, and if you believe that the Celtics are going to come out, you go with Jason Tatum to record a double-double. Jaylen Brown to score 25 points or more. Derek White, three made threes, and Drew Holiday to record 4+ assists. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to score $300 in bonus bets with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B, when you were playing,
yeah,
they still had the doubtful designation then? The league has since, or no, probable.
Dude. I can't tell you, Jay. I never was on a damn injury report.
They've gotten rid of probable.
I was scared to be on injury reports.
What does week to week mean to you?
Week to week? Like I said, it comes down to the pain threshold of the player, if he can or not. You know, sometimes you have those injuries where you have a lot of pain and it subsides quick. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, and the pain threshold doesn't mean a person can't handle it. It just means the thing is taking its time to get out of there. You know what I mean? So ultimately, week to week means this dude could definitely play this week. He may not. Because next, if he don't play this week, then next week it comes down to the pain thing again. Normally when they're going to tell you he's out a certain amount of time already, they know something is wrong if something happened. When it's week to week, it's all about pain threshold, bruising, and things of that nature.
Could there be some sort of like, because they're treating this thing every day, right? Yeah. The kid is getting treatment.
I'm telling
probably
cryotherapy.
Multiple times a day.
It'll help. Cryotherapy.
I bet they're doing it. I bet they're doing heat. What? Rest, ice, compression, elevate.
But if it could be done, they probably doing
yeah,
it.
They are heating it, cooling it. I do wonder if there's some level of like, all right. For the medical side, if there's a baseline of, all right, we need this inflammation to decrease by X percent, mm-hmm. or we need the tenderness to reduce, whatever it is. But I do think week to week is interesting because I think it does mean good news for this week. But I also think it means this could be a lingering issue, right? Like when you hear about, because ultimately this becomes, we presume, they're not providing us much context here, not to say soft tissue in that it's a hammy or a calf or something, but you're talking about where your body is just beat up. Like a whether it's strained or it's bruised, there's something that just freaking hurts.
Yep.
And when something just hurts like that, pain threshold is how you get through Sundays, and they have ways to make it feel okay on Sunday.
Yeah.
But then the following week, if you get through it on a Sunday, you can re-aggravate or make it worse.
You're going to have to be dealing with for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because like I, the plantar fasciitis, that was a week-to-week thing.
Turf toe is usually a week-to-week.
You play one game, you may have to have a hard cut, hit your heel or, you know, whatever, and it may come back, may flare up and fire up again. Or you may go through the game and don't have anything that affected. Next week, you don't feel anything at all. They stop putting that on the thing. They stop saying you're week to week because you don't feel anything. But if it comes back, bam, it's week to week again. You know, so I just think that this thing comes down to, can you go through? Yes, it's going to be a little sore, some pain. But if you can go through your routine and your progressions and the things you have to do full speed where the pain is not ailing you and hurting you, you go. If you go through it and it affects what you have to do, you don't go. Like when you say you went to do this and the hand didn't come, I wouldn't want a person out there that arm doesn't do what he wanted to
do. But White Mike was saying that after Mariota threw one of the touchdowns, he threw both hands up for the touchdown.
Yeah.
So some of it can be, I also think some of these things are a mental thing. When he is on the sideline with a trainer or at least an assistant is standing next to him, reminding him to chill out and don't do this and don't do that, he's going to be cognizant of that, right? But if he gets to a level where they're letting him back on the field, he's doing whatever.
Yeah, he got to be able to do it.
You can't put him out there where, if he's physically limited past a point or if he's going to be thinking about the injury.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, hey, Jaden, this week, let's just get out of bounds when you run. No need to take an unnecessary shot because you know these guys to the fan video Jeff's talking about. Like, the Bears are going to be aware of this too.
Yeah, and you hear me say it all the time. When somebody's on the field and they got something, you want to see if they're supposed to be out there. But if you don't get a clean shot on a guy, a quarterback standing up, it's going to be hard for you to just go seek out his rib.
Right, if he's running, you're just trying to tackle.
Yeah.
That doesn't, things happen. There could be a little nudge here and there as you're going down or once you're on the ground. All of that's possible. I think, though, what is really important is I think you have a staff in place that absolutely will not push if they shouldn't. You agree with that part of it?
I agree.
I also think you have a player that doesn't care about losing his job to the backup, about not being in the spotlight for a week. Like, Jaden is a dog competitor. He wants to be out there to win the game.
Totally.
But all the ancillary nonsense, and I'd love to use a different word there, all the ancillary Instagram, clout, commercial, all of that stuff, I don't think this kid really has it. That doesn't mean there aren't maybe people in the camp, his agent, his publicist, that care about that stuff. I don't think Jaden cares.
And he shouldn't.
Dude, if Jaden cared, you know what we haven't seen Jaden do, best I can tell, ever?
What's that?
An Instagram live. Like, have we seen?
I don't know.
About a week ago. And it was only because he's in those Nissan Heisman commercials.
He probably had to do it as part of his deal.
You know what I bet? I bet Jaden didn't do it. I bet his publicist or his buddy.
But still, he understands we do these deals here. A part of it, you got to post some stuff sometimes. That's a job.
The last one that to me looks like Jaden actually did himself was on September 22nd, a month ago, where he said, "Boy, Malik Nabers, you acted different." And he added Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two are close friends, and this was when Malik Nabers was just killing teams.
Yep.
Like, this dude doesn't seem to care about the stuff. And you know how refreshing that is? Some of the quarterbacks we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Howell didn't care about the stuff, which was cool. But Howell wasn't the player that Jaden is.
True.
This is just a different universe, man. I mean this seriously. Here's how you know Jaden doesn't care. He's one of, I would argue, be the most recognizable stars in the NFL through seven games.
Yeah.
I mean, dude is on a rocket ship of excitement and hype and fame, right?
Yep.
You and I both have more Twitter followers than he does. If he gave the slightest rip about that, he'd have 2 million.
Well, you know what? I don't care about the Twitter follow thing either.
I know. I'm just saying.
I don't care about that crap.
B, the last time they had a quarterback winning rookie of the weeks, that dude cared about the stuff.
Yeah.
Very much so. And it impacted everything. This young man does not. And that's a very, very positive development. Barstool Nate next.